God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Appreciate you being with me tonight. Katie Erickson and I going through part of the book of Judges. Please join us tonight and find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Katie, how you doing over there?
Doing great. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for being with us tonight, friends. And Katie and I, yeah, we've been talking out throughout the week, and we really want to dig into this five-step process just a bit. Five-step cycle, sorry.
Sure. Hey, you can call it whatever.
Yep, call it whatever. And, you know, we've discussed this in the past, but God is good. Reflections on the Book of Judges. It's a book Katie released back in 2020.
Yep.
May 2020. And you were like, you know, I think this is the time to, you know, revisit that again. So just want to encourage you to go find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. If you're feeling like you, in your life, you know, you're going through a cycle of turning away from God, messing up, pleading with God for you, for your rescue, and then turning back to Him, well, that's a cycle we found in the Book of Judges. And I should say Katie's found it.
Well, you know.
Not the ministry, but she's
okay.
With the ministry. So, but God's chosen people of Israel, friends, they experience that a lot, that same cycle a lot. And we see it in the Book of Judges. So I just want to encourage you to really join Katie in that. And this resource that we have available, a lot of people have already used it for their Bible studies or a small group, even personal study. And what's nice with the book, the chapters, I would say it's safe to say, Katie, it's not like 10 pages long chapters.
Oh, no.
Right?
Each chapter is like 3 pages or something.
Yeah.
So it's pretty quick. You can just, you know, get through a chapter in just a few minutes.
And really, not just that, but I mean, you could read one chapter in a day. You could use it as like, oh, your devotion in the morning.
You could.
Or devotion in the evening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just to reflect on it. So we're going to get into this, though, of this five-step cycle: sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and silence. And what we've decided tonight is we want to focus in on one judge that we really see this happening. And so what's this judge's name? I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
His name is Othniel.
Okay. So Katie, we're going to turn it over to you here. Othniel, tell us a little bit about him.
All right. Well, I'm just going to start by reading from the Book of Judges, because that's where we find
out
about him.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, exactly. So we're in Judges chapter 3, if you'd like to grab a Bible or a Bible app and follow along. Judges chapter 3, just verses 7 through 11 is all we're looking at. We're going to see the whole five-step cycle going on in there.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? So Judges 3, 7 through 11. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim. Did not practice those names well enough. To whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years, until Othniel son of Kenaz died. All right, so there's four verses.
Yeah.
We'll see the whole five-step cycle going on in there. So the passage starts out with the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Well, there's the sin. Pretty
right.
Clear right there. And then it elaborates on that a little bit. It says they forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. So those are false gods that they were serving. So that is their sin. They did evil. They did things that God didn't want them to do. They worshipped other gods. And so serving these other gods was clearly forbidden by God in the Ten Commandments, multiple places in the Ten Commandments. So that was the first step in the cycle of the people disobeyed God. So then in the next verse, we read that God allowed them to be in slavery to a king of this other nation for 8 years. So they needed to experience that negative consequence so that they would realize their sin and ideally repent and turn away from it. Now, we don't have any details on what that particular slavery entailed, but, you know, the general nature of slavery is that it's, you know, not a fun experience.
Right.
So, step one, the Israelites sinned, they disobeyed God, they did evil, they forgot God and served other gods. And then God got angry, and so he sold them into slavery, and they were enslaved for 8 years. But then it says that Israel was then crying out to the Lord. So that's just that first phrase in there, but it says, when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer. So when they are crying out to God, that is that supplication. That's that third step in the cycle. So they sinned. God allowed them to be enslaved. Supplication was they cried out to God for deliverance. And then when they did that, it says that God raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, who saved them. So again, that's the fourth step in the cycle right there. That is God delivering them. God is providing them salvation. So it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Othniel the judge, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. And then the Lord delivered the people who were oppressing them into their hands. So Israel cried out to God, and God provided them Othniel as a deliverer, who then saved them from the foreign king's power. So we already got the four steps there. And then, in the last verse that we read, it says, so the land had peace for 40 years, until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. So they experienced that peace, that time of silence, until their deliverer died, and then the cycle started all over again in the next passage.
So, with that, again, friends, it isn't something that is just long and drawn out. I mean, in Scripture, it's quick. But in life, it can be a long time. But again, you can just get through it so quick in Scripture that my point with this is just I want us to really think through how the people themselves were so much like us. Because, well, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. Of in Scripture, the account of what happens, sometimes we dismiss them, if you will, and just kind of go, well, you know, I guess that makes sense. Or we're like, what idiots? What were they thinking? Right? Well, I don't want to call them idiots, and I hope we don't call them idiots, because they're just like us. There's really no difference.
Well, and honestly, so, you know, if the world keeps going, sometime hundreds of years down the road, people will look back at our time and be like, what idiots?
Probably.
I mean, honestly, because we're doing the same things that they're doing. And we're like, you know, we look back at that going, how could you not worship God? Like, God did so many miraculous things for you and, you know, brought you out of Egypt and all of that stuff. And how could you forget that and turn away and worship these false gods that were like statues sitting there?
Right.
You know, we're like, how could you even do that? You know, to us, the hindsight, we're like, that's ridiculous.
So as I have claimed in the last half hour of the program, I'm going to poke a nice sore spot on many of you. And I don't mean to be a jerk, so please don't take offense. How many of us have been anxious and our anxiety is through the roof lately? Or you're worried about things, drum roll please, that you cannot control, but yet you want to control it? I'm not being mean, friends. I'm asking you to consider this and truly go, ask yourself, have I truly been trusting God, or have I been making something an idol in my life and putting that in my life to have power over me? Maybe even over God for me in my life? I greatly encourage you to examine yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, where have I been putting myself not just into sin, but maybe into slavery? Be honest enough with yourself to ask this question, and if the Holy Spirit is guiding you in that and leading you to something that, well, is ouchy, I encourage you to face it and receive it and then confess the sin, ask for forgiveness, and repent of it. And we need to move on. I'm not talking about the program. I'm talking about move on in your life. God wants to set you free. Don't you want to be free, friend? Dead serious. I'm so sick and tired for myself of areas of my life where I just get all bound up. And I'm like, I haven't given that over to God yet. Even though I thought I had. Well, be honest enough with yourself so you can get freedom in the Lord. God wants us free. He absolutely does. So with that, friends, I encourage you to totally seek the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, while reading Scripture, if you find something that encourages you in freedom, that is the Holy Spirit talking to you and encouraging you to go that way. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program, sitting in with my guest tonight, Katie Erickson. Katie, I so appreciate you being with us here.
I always have a good time being here.
Oh, absolutely. Friends, with this, we're going to discuss one more judge to kind of wrap up the whole program. But before we get to that, just wanted to share with you a quick fast cast. Yeah. And we'll get to it in just a bit as far as the last part of the program. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
In the mid-1990s, I had made a very pointed decision in my life that I was going to search for and seek out truth and go to wherever absolute truth would go, wherever it was going to lead me. You see, earlier as a young man, I had chosen my own path and decided not to follow Jesus Christ at all. What I did not realize at the time when I had made this decision was I actually had decided to get to know Jesus Christ more intimately than ever before in my lifetime. You see, in John 14:6, Jesus made the claim that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So, since I had already made the decision to go wherever truth was going to lead me, I had already, in essence, made the decision to search for and seek out Jesus Christ. To dig more into this, you'll find my blog post titled, The Search for Truth.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. So appreciate you tuning into the program. Again, God is good. Reflections on the Book of Judges, written by our guest tonight, Katie Erickson, is available at Worldview Warriors. It's available in paperback and Kindle. I encourage you to join her on this journey through the ups and downs and life lessons that the people of Israel learned through this period of time, and see how these lessons apply to your life as a follower of Jesus Christ today. Again, God is good. Reflections on the Book of Judges. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, and what's the five-step cycle again?
The five-step cycle is sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and silence.
So what we've been talking about here tonight, that's in the book. It goes way more in depth into the book and just how it also connects with the Book of Judges and all those judges in the Book of Judges. But we've had people tell us that they have used this resource for Bible studies, small groups, even their own personal study. And so, friends, we really believe, not just because we believe it, but people have told us, you will grow in your faith. We believe immensely if you put yourself in there and really dig into this. God will reveal things to you. So we encourage you to find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. God is good. Reflections on the Book of Judges, written by Katie Erickson. And Katie, let's just continue on talking about the five-step cycle.
All right. We are going to look at another time when this five-step cycle occurs in the Book of Judges. So contextually, from where we were before, we just talked about Othniel. Well, there was a few other judges that happened. There was the story of Eglon and Ehud. That's a fun one. Read that in Judges 3 for some good entertainment. And then there's the whole story of Deborah and Barak in Judges 4 and Judges 5. So now we're up to the beginning of Judges 6. And that's where this cycle, this five-step cycle, basically returns. So I'm going to start out reading Judges 6, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like a swarm of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." All right, so that was Judges 6, 1 through 10. So we can see a lot of that repeating pattern there of sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and silence. So after 40 years of peace that Israel experienced following their victory over Sisera's armies with Deborah and Barak, then Israel again falls into the trap of not following God. So in the first part of verse 1 of Judges 6, we see Israel sinning again. It doesn't say details of the sin, but it's enough to say that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the specific sin is kind of irrelevant, since really all sin is evil in God's eyes and causes us to be separated from Him. So in the second part of verse 1, we see that Israel ended up in slavery to the Midianites because of their sin. But this just wasn't any regular slavery. We see in verses 3 through 5 that both the Midianites and the Amalekites had invaded Israel's territory. And they didn't just invade, they were killing Israel's crops and livestock, basically just hoping to cause them to die for lack of food and lack of animals. This judgment that Israel received from the Midianites and the Amalekites was so bad that all they could do was literally hide in the hills. And what did Israel do to deserve this terrible treatment? Well, in verse 1 it says, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so they deserved punishment for that evil. But it's also interesting that this particular curse was predicted back in Deuteronomy 28:31, which says, "Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them." So there's this entire section of Deuteronomy 28 that lets Israel know what will happen if they disobey God, and it's really not good. And yet, Israel disobeyed God. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So, from all that, again, they're literally just hiding to save their lives. They have no food, they have no livestock, these people are just ravaging their land, and they're hiding in caves in the hills. So Israel then realizes, this is not great, we should call out to God for help. So our cycle continues, with Israel calling out to God for help. That's the supplication piece. We see in verse 6 that their situation got so bad, they finally decided, we're going to turn back to God. And then when they did so, in verse 7, God sent them a prophet to help them out. Now, the last time they cried out to God, he sent them the judge Deborah, and they were delivered. This time, however, is a little bit different. God sends a prophet who does not immediately deliver them, but instead basically just shows them their sinful ways. Now, it's interesting, because you may be wondering, well, who is this prophet? That's a great question. We really don't know. Right. There's not much description of him that's given. But we do see that in verses 7 through 10, the prophet reminds Israel how they have continually disobeyed God by worshiping other gods, worshiping the gods of the Amorites. So in this particular passage, we don't see Israel get to the point of actually being delivered and then experiencing that silence or peace in the nation for a period of time. So for now, they basically just need to realize that their actions have consequences. So we didn't quite get all the way through the cycle here, but then this setup basically is when then Gideon comes onto the scene. You may be familiar with the story of Gideon. But then, so after this prophet basically tells Israel of like, look, here's all the bad stuff you're doing. After they cried out to God of like, why is this happening? The prophet tells them, okay, here's why. And then the next thing that happens then is God raises up Gideon. And then that's like another, you know, leader for them, another judge who then helped them defeat the Midianites and eventually get to that point of salvation and then silence. But we see the cycle here is basically set up for them.
Absolutely. So, friends, with that, just consider that. I also ask you to please consider that for your own lives as well. And, Katie, if you don't mind, I don't want to shortchange this and miss this, because the last part of what you have here, I think, is amazing.
All right.
And so let's share that with our listeners.
Okay. So when I was reading this passage, it brought to mind, and actually a lot of the book of Judges, and even Kings for that matter, brings to mind something that I was taught many years ago. So I went to Christian schools growing up, and one thing I will always remember was a teaching my high school year of in my high school religion class. So I know he's not listening, I'm sure, but Mr. Gerlach, my high school religion teacher freshman year, taught us this. He would write on the board, O equals B and D equals C.
Okay.
And I think pretty much everyone in those classes, if they were listening, they'd be like, oh my gosh, I remember that. So what does it mean? It's really a shortened version of like of God's natural law. So O equals B. That means if you obey God, you will be blessed. So that's what we want. You want O equals B. Obey equals bless. And then D equals C. If we disobey God, we will be cursed. Mm. So that's how things worked out for the Israelites back in the Old Testament. And that's often how things work out for us today as well. You know, O equals B. You obey God and you will be blessed. D equals C. Disobey God and you will be cursed. That's God's natural law. You know, you do the things that God wants you to do and you will experience some kind of blessing for that. Do the things that God does not want you to do and some bad stuff is going to happen eventually. So today, of course, we do have God's grace, especially because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And so we have grace, and there are, you know, we all deserve death. We all are in that D equals C part. We're all disobeying God, and we're all cursed for it. But thankfully, because Jesus was obedient, Jesus is the one who can bring us that blessing of true salvation through him. But while we're living in this world, God's natural law is still how the world works. O equals B, D equals C. If you obey God, you'll receive his blessing on our lives. But if we disobey God, we'll receive some kind of curse. So which equation do you want to live by?
And friends, I just want to expand that just a bit, because don't be like Adam and Eve, where God let them know, hey, you eat the fruit from that tree, you will surely die. Don't be like Adam and Eve and go, wow, okay, let's go eat it. You eat it and then, wow, we're still alive. No. They were dead, they just didn't know it. And so, again, don't think that you're getting away with sin if you're disobeying God and, you know, you're getting away, well, we didn't receive the consequence, so we're getting away with it. No, eventually, it's going to catch up with you. Just like with Adam and Eve, they eventually died. God was true to them. He told them the truth. Satan was the one that twisted and lied to them. You surely won't die. Well, not at the moment, but yes, you will eventually reap the consequence of your bad choices. So, I just want to reiterate one more time with what Katie's sharing here. Obey, and then you'll be blessed. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to receive the blessing right then and there, or even in 10 minutes, or even in 10 years. The blessing could be on the other side. It very well could be. I'll also say this. It could be right then and there. It could be in 10 minutes. It could be in 10 days. It could be in 10 years. Don't get discouraged if it's not right away. And don't get all cocky and arrogant and prideful when you disobey and you seemingly don't receive the curse, because you will eventually receive it. God's natural law will happen. And I thank Jesus Christ for coming, as I hope you do as well, to save us from our sin. Katie, as we get out of here, if there's just one more thing you could share with our listeners, anything, I'm going to give you 1 minute. What would that one thing be?
Oh, gosh. I would say just watch for this cycle in your life. You know, figure out, okay, where am I at in this? And you may be at like multiple places in the cycle with different phases of your life, you know? Maybe in one area, you're like, hey, I've got that time of peace. It's all good. Maybe in another area, you're sinning. Maybe in another area, you're feeling that slavery and the effects of that. And you need to call out to God for him to rescue you. So watch for this cycle in your life and figure out where you are in this. Because ideally, we want to live in that place of supplication, salvation, and silence. We don't want to live in those first two steps of sin and slavery. You know, we want to be crying out to God, knowing that he will save us, but that, you know, sometimes that salvation is just, here's what we need to do to clean up our own messes. But listening to God for that, so that we can live in that time of silence, that time of peace with God in all areas of our lives.
And knowing that the gospel is true. Friends, God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges, written by Katie Erickson. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You go out and make today great. Don't be a pushover. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.